A new class of cancer drug just got its first major approval. Instead of just blocking a harmful protein, it acts like a targeted eraser, completely removing it from the cell. The result? It cut the risk of disease progression by 43% in patients with advanced breast cancer. This isn't just a new drug, it's a new era in medicine. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a seismic shift in biotechnology that has direct implications for manufacturing and investment strategy. We'll start with the landmark FDA approval of a new type of drug called a protein degrader, officially moving it from scientific theory to commercial reality.
Then we'll cover the M&A firestorm in antibody drug conjugates, or ADCs. Novartis just reversed its long-held skepticism with a $1.5 billion deal, confirming that these smart chemotherapies are now a core part of oncology.
And finally, we'll look at RNA medicine's second act. After the success of COVID vaccines, the race is on to deliver these drugs beyond the liver. And the first successes are already creating a massive manufacturing bottleneck. All right, Troy, let's start with this new class of drugs. The FDA just approved the first ever PROTAC for cancer. What exactly is a PROTAC?
A PROTAC, or proteolysis targeting chimera, is a type of targeted protein degrader, or TPD. Think of it less like a traditional drug that inhibits or blocks a protein, and more like a tool that hijacks the cell's own garbage disposal system, the ubiquitin proteasome system, to completely eliminate a target protein.
So instead of putting a roadblock in front of the problem, it calls a tow truck to haul it away entirely. What's the specific development here?
On May 1st, 2026, the FDA approved vepdegestrin, co-developed by Arvinas and Pfizer. It's the first oral PROTAC approved for ER-positive, HER2-negative metastatic breast cancer in patients with ESR1 mutations. The VERITAC-2 trial showed it reduced the risk of disease progression by 43% compared to the standard of care. This is the proof point the entire TPD field has been waiting for.
A 43% improvement is a huge signal. How does this specifically affect U.S. and European manufacturers?
This creates a new high-value supply chain. TPDs are complex, small molecules. They require sophisticated linkers and ligands. This is a major opportunity for specialty chemical manufacturers in Europe and the U.S. to supply these high-purity components. At the same time, it's a direct threat to manufacturers of older inhibitor drugs that will be displaced. We're already seeing a response, with companies like B1 Medicines investing $300 million to expand their New Jersey facility to handle biologics, small molecules, and degraders.
What about trading companies and distributors? How do they position themselves?
They need to understand the new ecosystem. This isn't just about the drug. It's about the companion diagnostics needed to identify patients with specific mutations, like the ESR1 mutation for vepdegestrin. Sourcing partnerships should be explored now with the key players, Arvinas, Pfizer, and other TPD biotechs like Norix Therapeutics, which just got clearance for its partnership with Roche on a BTK degrader.
So what's the immediate actionable insight for executives listening?
Map your capabilities against the TPD supply chain. If you're in specialty chemicals, can you produce the high-purity linkers and E3 ligase ligands these drugs require? If you're a CDMO, do you have the containment and complex synthesis capabilities? This technology is moving from niche biotech to big pharma, and the manufacturing and supply contracts are being signed now.
Let's stick with oncology, but move to a different technology that's also exploding: antibody drug conjugates, or ADCs. You call them smart bombs.
That's right. An ADC consists of three parts: a monoclonal antibody that acts as a homing missile to find a specific target on a cancer cell, a highly potent cytotoxic payload, which is the warhead, and a chemical linker that holds them together until the target is reached.
And this space is white hot right now. What's the big news?
Two major events. First, the FDA in May 2026 approved Datroway for metastatic triple-negative breast cancer, a very difficult-to-treat cancer. This is a huge clinical validation. Second, and perhaps more telling for the market, is the M&A activity. Novartis, which had famously been an ADC holdout, just reversed course with a deal worth up to $1.5 billion for Myricx Bio, a UK-based company with a novel payload technology.
When a giant like Novartis makes a $1.5 billion U-turn, that's a powerful market signal. What does this ADC boom mean for manufacturers in the US and Europe?
It means a surge in highly specialized demand. Manufacturing an ADC requires expertise in three distinct areas: large molecule biologic production for the antibody, small molecule synthesis for the highly potent payload, and the complex bioconjugation process to link them. This is a massive opportunity for contract development and manufacturing organizations, or CDMOs. Look at Lonza. They just announced an expansion of their dedicated commercial-scale sterile ADC facility in Switzerland. They see the demand curve.
And for trading and distribution networks, this sounds like a logistical challenge.
It's a challenge, but also an opportunity. The supply chain is fragmented. The antibody might come from one supplier, the linker from another, and the payload from a specialist in highly potent active pharmaceutical ingredients, or HPAPIs. Distributors who can create a reliable, integrated supply chain for these three components will be incredibly valuable. This isn't future gazing. With over 300 ADCs in clinical development, the time to build these relationships is now.
So, the actionable insight for our listeners?
If you're a manufacturer, you must conduct a serious assessment of your capabilities for handling HPAPIs and bioconjugation. If you don't have them, securing capacity with a CDMO like Lonza or Samsung Biologics is critical because lead times are growing. For investors and business development teams, the small platform companies like Myrix, Tubulis in Germany, or Engedix in the UK are prime targets for partnership and acquisition.
Okay, let's pivot to our third major theme. The next chapter for RNA therapeutics. The COVID-19 vaccines proved the technology, but what's happening now?
The second act for RNA is all about breaking out of the liver. The first wave of RNA drugs, particularly siRNAs, worked well because they used a technology called GalNAc conjugation, which is like a delivery address that sends them straight to liver cells. But to treat a wider range of diseases, we need to deliver them to other organs, the heart, the lungs, the central nervous system.
So the key bottleneck is delivery. Are we seeing any breakthroughs?
Absolutely. We're seeing powerful clinical data that proves it's possible. Arrowhead Pharmaceuticals just reported phase 3 data for its siRNA drug, plozasiran. In patients with severe hypertriglyceridemia, a cardiovascular risk factor, it achieved up to an 81% reduction in triglycerides. And Ribocure, a subsidiary of China's Suzhou Ribo Life Science, reported its drug, fortasiran, cut factor XI activity by 92%, which is huge for reducing thrombotic risk in heart disease.
Those are impressive numbers. So solving the delivery problem creates a new set of opportunities and challenges?
Precisely. The success in cardiometabolic diseases, which affect enormous patient populations, is creating a new bottleneck: manufacturing. Oligonucleotide synthesis, the process of making the RNA strands, is complex and resource-intensive. A report from Chinese manufacturer Hongjin Biotech warns that current manufacturing models are simply insufficient to meet the surging demand for drugs like these.
That sounds like a major opportunity for U.S. and European manufacturers.
It's enormous. The industry needs a dramatic scale-up in oligonucleotide API manufacturing. This is a call to action for Western specialty chemical companies to produce the nucleoside building blocks and for equipment makers who can innovate in automated synthesis. The Tides USA 2026 conference specifically focused on overcoming these CMC, or chemistry, manufacturing, and controls, bottlenecks.
What should trading companies and distributors be focused on here?
Securing the supply of raw materials. This includes the high-purity phosphoramidides and other reagents for oligonucleotide synthesis, as well as the specialized ionizable lipids required for the LNP delivery vehicles. As demand from blockbuster cardiovascular drugs comes online, this supply chain will be under intense pressure.
And the final actionable insight for executives?
For manufacturers, seriously investigate entering or expanding into the oligonucleotide API market. The barriers to entry are high, but so are the margins and the demand. For trading firms and biopharma companies, lock in long-term supply agreements for these critical raw materials now. Waiting until the demand fully hits will be too late.
Troy, a lot of ground covered this week. Let's distill it down. What are the three key strategic takeaways for our listeners?
First, degradation is the new inhibition. The FDA's approval of the first PROTAC cancer drug, vepdegestrant, marks a fundamental shift in drug design. This isn't just about blocking a protein anymore, it's about erasing it. Western firms must adapt their pipelines and, critically, their manufacturing supply chains for these more complex molecules.
Second, the smart bombs have officially gone mainstream.
Exactly. Antibody drug conjugates are no longer a niche technology. With a major approval for Datroway and multi-billion dollar deals from giants like Novartis, ADCs are a standard of care. This puts U.S. and European CDMOs with expertise in bioconjugation and handling highly potent compounds in an incredibly strong position.
And finally, the future of RNA is about delivery and scale.
That's right. The value of the next wave of RNA drugs will be defined by two things: the ability to deliver them to tissues beyond the liver, and the capacity to manufacture them at an unprecedented scale. Early successes in heart disease are already straining the supply chain for oligonucleotides. The most strategic move an executive can make right now is to secure their place in that supply chain.
That's all the intelligence we have for this week. Thank you for joining us. We provide this briefing to help you cut through the noise and focus on the technological developments that will define your competitive landscape tomorrow.
We'll be back next week with another analysis of the signals that matter.
Be sure to subscribe to Troy Technical Intelligence wherever you get your podcasts, so you never miss a briefing.